Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is March 11, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Orange reveals Orange Money in Morocco, sets a mobile money position in Africa, the Middle East. Grab, Wirecard enter payments partnership in Southeast Asia. Bahrain International Airport extends contract with Travelex. Novo Dia Group, Square announce integration, Totiel Pay POS apps revealed. Grover chooses IXOPAY as its payment management platform. Faster payment becomes a federal case. Corporate cards find opportunity and funding in new B2B use cases. Strategizing the ugly child of corporate finance, accounts receivable. Interest rates to pinch alt lenders and digital banks. Rethinking reconciliation amid deeper corporate finance disruption. Making invisible payments more than a buzzword. Now let's get started. Orange reveals Orange Money in Morocco, sets a mobile money position in Africa, the Middle East. Orange Morocco has announced the launch of Orange Money in the kingdom, allowing users to make mobile payments and transfer money using their phones. Morocco also becomes the 18th country in the Africa and Middle East region of Orange to offer the Orange Money solution. It provides every mobile user, regardless of their telecom operator, with the option of having a mobile wallet backed by their phone number. Also, the solution allows mobile phone users to carry out financial transactions, pay for phone recharges remotely or withdraw money from their Orange Money wallets at POS approved by Orange Money Maroc. Non-Orange customers can take advantage of the service by downloading the mobile application. Grab, Wirecard enter payments partnership in Southeast Asia. Germany-based fintech Wirecard has announced a payments partnership with Singapore-based provider of transportation, logistics and financial services Grab. The collaboration will see Wirecard process transactions made via the Grab Pay e-wallet, starting with the Malaysian, the Philippines and the Singapore markets. In February, Grab received US$850 million from Japanese investors Mitsubishi UFJ Financial Group (MUFG) and TIS, to boost financial inclusion in Southeast Asia. Consumers can use the Grab Pay e-wallet to make transactions online as well as offline. Through this partnership, Wirecard will process card transactions for Grab Pay via its digital financial commerce platform and will extend Grab Pay to more merchants to expand the acceptance of the mobile payment method. Bahrain International Airport extends contract with Travelex. Travelex, a Finablr company and foreign exchange specialist, has extended its relationship with Bahrain International Airport, BIA. Travelex has signed a 5-year contract with Bahrain Airport Company, operating multiple outlets at the new passenger terminal building, successfully winning a tender to provide currency exchange services. Travelex will now operate 4 stores in the airport's new terminal, providing travelers to and from Bahrain with access to a wide variety of currencies and services to match their travel needs, according to the official press release. 2 stores will be located at landside, accessible to the public, and 2 more at airside, after passengers pass through security and immigration. Retail areas at the new terminal will be 3 times larger than at the existing airport, offering passengers more variety and transforming BIA into a key commercial hub. This supports BAC's goal to increase the aviation sector's contribution to the national economy in line with Bahrain's Economic Vision 2030. Novo Dia Group, Square announce integration, Totale Pay POS apps revealed. Novo Dia Group (NDG) has unveiled an integration with Square and an enhancement of its flagship POS solution, Mobile Market Plus, now called Totale Pay. NDG is a developer of POS solutions that accepts electronic benefit transfer (EBT) and other payments with minimal friction. With the integration, EBT authorized Square merchants can leverage their existing Square merchant account and card reader to seamlessly accept credit cards and use Totale Pay to accept EBT payments, including SNAP and WIC. Merchants who already use Mobile Market Plus to accept SNAP and WIC can update to the new Totale Pay apps, set up a new Square account, or use their existing one to process credit cards and benefit from many of the additional services that Square offers. Totale Pay is an all-in-one EBT solution that accepts all payment types on the same device, while Totale Pay Go allows farmers markets and other mobile vendors to accept EBT and all payment types using a single intuitive and simple app. Totale Pay Register, for convenience stores, bodegas, and grocery stores, replaces every legacy terminal on the counter with one system. Grover chooses IXOPAY as its payment management platform. Germany-based tech subscription scale-up Grover has chosen the payment orchestration platform IXOPAY to manage its payment processes. Grover enables people to rent over 2,000 different tech products monthly instead of buying them. Customers can rent a variety of gadgets with Grover, including smartphones, laptops, virtual reality, VR, gear, and wearables. Grover's use of IXOPAY facilitates the expansion of its business activities to other countries in, and eventually also outside of Europe. Offered as a software as a service solution, IXOPAY allows merchants to connect to various payment service providers, PSPs, acquirers, and local payment methods. The ability to route transactions to the most suitable payment processor improves shopping cart conversions and thereby turnover while keeping processing fees at manageable levels. IXOPAY is a payments orchestration platform enabling global payment processing. As a PCI DSS certified fintech enabler, IXOPAY fulfills the needs of large merchants as well as those of white label clients, payment service providers, PSPs, acquirers and independent sales organizations, ISOs. The architecture offers smart transaction routing and cascading, risk and fraud management, fully automated reconciliation and settlements processing, comprehensive reporting as well as plugin-based integration of acquirers, payment service providers and alternative payment methods, APMs. IXOPAY is part of the IXOLIT Group, founded in Vienna, Austria in 2001. With local entities in Austria and the USA, IXOLIT supports national and international customers across various industry verticals. Faster payment becomes a federal case. There's a battle brewing in payments. A big one. It's the feds versus the free marketeers, and the feud between them is over whose real-time payments (RTP) rails will rule them all. In the March 2020 PYMNTS Faster Payments Tracker, the antagonists in this particular drama are the Federal Reserve Board, the Fed, and the Clearing House, TCH, whose ACH wire transfer tech was the industry standard until fintech interlopers began repurposing payments rails with tons of venture capital. Sensing that existing fast payments are not accessible enough, the Fed proposed the FedNow service, expected by 2024 as a national fast payments platform available to the public. Through the FedNow service, we will provide a foundation for the future, a modern payment infrastructure that allows innovation and competition to flourish and delivers faster payments safely and securely for all, said Fed Governor Lael Brainard, chair of the Committees on Financial Stability, Federal Reserve Bank Affairs, Consumer and Community Affairs, and Payments, Clearing and Settlements. To ensure fast payments are available to everyone, FedNow will be accessible to all banks, no matter the size. Given our long-standing service connections with more than 10,000 banks across the country, the Federal Reserve is uniquely placed to deliver this outcome. How the governments plan conflicts with private sector instant money efforts remains to be seen as years of slow money break free from traditional constraints. Public versus private RTP. The U.S. Federal Reserve is hardly alone in envisioning a national fast payments, rapid settlements system. From Brazil to Canada to India and beyond, national governments are exploring fast payments networks to democratize payments and speed up economies, while also acting a public utility, much as Internet 1.0 was sold as the information superhighway. That doesn't mean private players are thrilled about the Fed's plan. We are going to keep doing the same things we were doing, Steve Ledford, Senior Vice President of Product Strategy and Development at the Clearinghouse, told PYMNTS. We are expanding the network. The number of banks and credit unions in our pipeline to implement the RTP network actually went up fivefold since the August 5, 2019, announcement of FedNow. The fact that FedNow is taking some uncertainty out of the market has actually freed up folks to make decisions. In fact, TCH plans to use the FedNow service too. We are also working on use of the network with third-party software providers that are enabling end users and financial institutions to use the product, Ledford said. We are talking directly to corporations about the kinds of things they are thinking about. Our intent is that when the Fed comes into the market, whenever that may be, that we will have established a thriving network with a lot of folks using it, and they won't see a reason to change. RTP and ubiquity. National high-speed payment rails open to the public for nominal usage fees, or for free, will have far-reaching economic and lifestyle impacts. It's a question of when. Real-time payment rails can gain ubiquity once third-party developers start leveraging them for new apps and other services, Ledford told PYMNTS. Payments providers can encourage such growth by ensuring their rails are easy to work with, such as by implementing ISO 20022 for payments messaging, a standard that developers often use for other web and mobile application projects. Corporate cards find opportunity and funding in new B2B use cases. B2B fintechs are once again showing off the versatility of the corporate card. While QuickBooks is piloting card payments on invoices powered by PayPal, Airwallex is readying the launch of its own corporate card, both physical and virtual, designed to enable cross-border payments. In Asia, venture capitalists have backed two commercial card startups, one in China, targeting employee expense management, and one in India, with a focus on linking startups to credit without the need for a personal guarantee. Below, PYMNTS rounds up the latest in commercial card innovation. QuickBooks adds card payment support. Although QuickBooks Connect's event was canceled due to the coronavirus earlier this month, Intuit has made public the new product enhancements that were originally planned to be announced during the conference. Among those announcements includes a deepened integration with PayPal, which allows small businesses using QuickBooks to send out invoices with a feature enabling debit and credit card payment on those bills, facilitated by PayPal. According to EnterpriseTimes.co.uk, QuickBooks did not reveal the special rates PayPal is offering the platform, with reports noting that the feature is currently in closed pilot phase. In addition to adding support for card payments on invoices, QuickBooks upgrades also include a cash flow planning tool, invoice payment reminders, open banking support, receipt data capture, and payroll compliance. Airwallex readies B2B X-Border card. Fintech Airwallex recently announced a partnership with I2C, which has been chosen as the payments processor for Airwallex's commercial card solution designed for cross-border B2B payments. The Airwallex Borderless Card is a multi-currency card that connects businesses to both virtual and physical card solutions for global payment. Airwallex will first release the card in its virtual form, a press release noted. The card supports 10 different currencies and connects corporate payers to Airwallex's exchange rates in real time, with the company pointing to the card's support for efficiency and speed in global payments. The card, which is geared toward payments made to suppliers, subsidiaries, clients, and business partners, will first roll out in Australia, with plans to debut in the UK and Hong Kong at a later date, the company said. VCs back VCard tool for expense management. In China, venture capitalists have placed $36 million in Fenbeitong, a business expense management startup that recently introduced virtual card, V-card, payment capabilities to augment its product offering, the latest example of fintechs exploring how to combine commercial card technology with value-added tools like spend analysis. In addition to the new V-card capabilities, reports in China Money Network said the company has also recently debuted controls for pre-transaction compliance, as well as features to manage post-transaction processes. The Series B Plus investment was led by Eight Roads, Ribbit Capital and Gladebrook Capital, while Bitrock Capital and existing backers also participated. With the new funding, Fenbeitong CEO Lan Shi said the firm will invest in its staff to focus on research and development, and expand its product capability to address more payment scenarios. The company also plans to establish partnerships with an array of other enterprise platforms to more seamlessly embed itself in users' back offices. In a statement, Ribbit Capital partner Ray Chua also highlighted the startup's mobile payment functionality as a particular benefit for corporates and their employees, highlighting another opportunity for fintechs to build value upon mobile-friendly commercial cards. India startup lands funding for card for startups. Over in India, meanwhile, venture capitalists placed their bets on a commercial card startup with a different goal in mind, connect startups, which often lack credit histories or collateral for personal guarantees, to a corporate card. Carbon Card secured $2 million in funding, according to VC Circle reports, with executives from Cred, Pine Labs, Jitendra Gupta and others participating. Carbon said it will use the funding to invest in product development, market expansion and operation, adding that it is looking to connect startups to much-needed credit that will help them grow and succeed. In addition to credit, the Carbon Card also connects small businesses to a rewards program tailored to startups, with credit for Amazon Web Services or discounts at various brands like Uber. Strategizing the ugly child of corporate finance, accounts receivable. Accounts receivable, AR, is a function that spreads across multiple tasks of an enterprise, from corporate finance to sales teams and vendor relationship management initiatives. Yet AR has widely been viewed as a friction-filled manual task that doesn't add value to the organization. Often, even as a function designed to collect payments, AR can even be viewed as a cost center. Rob Harvey, Global Director of Solutions Consulting and Head of Pre-Sales Operations at order-to-cash automation company SideTrade, reiterated this sentiment in a recent conversation with PYMNTS. Accounts receivable and the management of it within order-to-cash processes has historically felt like the ugly child, or unwanted area within the business, he said. It's a function that crosses frontiers between both sales and finance, with leadership within each function not fully understanding what it is to be a credit controller, and to carry such responsibility for the health and well-being of both the business financially, and the day-to-day interactions and relationship the credit department has with its customers. That lack of understanding is beginning to shift, however, with more chief financial officers investing in AR technologies that can optimize the process, significantly cut many of the expenses associated with collecting payments, and elevate AR into a strategic function that powers cash flow and deeper customer relationships. A legacy of outdated tech. With AR seen as an inconvenient, manual process, many organizations in the past had outsourced the function. Unfortunately, said Harvey, transferring a lackluster process outside of the organization rarely results in an optimized process and rather, can lead to damaged customer relationships and a lack of deeper insight into key AR metrics like average DSO, days sales outstanding. The outsourcing trend has slowed, he said, as organizations aim to centralize their operations and begin to understand the potential value in AR. CFOs are now looking to the asset side of the balance sheet to drive the next level of improvement, said Harvey. The opportunities to improve AR are vast. For instance, Harvey pointed to the dispute resolution process, which is often siloed from the collection process. According to SideTrade's own research, about one in every seven invoices involves some kind of dispute, whether linked to missing documents, deductions or otherwise. Further, the research found that a company can spend as long as 74 days on resolving that dispute. It's just one example of how a function designed to facilitate capital inflow can actually be an expensive waste of valuable resources. This can represent a huge draw on business access to working capital, let alone adding further inefficiency and poor customer satisfaction. With multiple touch points throughout the dispute lifecycle across multiple tools and systems, Harvey said, noting that by streamlining collections and dispute resolution, businesses can strengthen customer relationships and promote a common culture around cash. Digital disruption takes hold. Dispute resolution is a greenfield opportunity for technology like artificial intelligence (AI) to bring major efficiencies into the R and broader order-to-cash process. According to Harvey, AI is among the most promising tools, as are machine learning (ML) and natural language processing, to optimize R processes and help organizations take advantage of R data to unlock insights into metrics like DSO and beyond. With ever-growing workloads, siloed functions, systems and teams, the need to make precise, data-driven decisions at the tight time has become a necessity in order to gain a competitive edge, he said. The need to access data is becoming more and more imperative as organizations select disruptive cloud technology vendors in order to benefit from their vast data sets. Data is at the heart of not only automating much of the manual workload of R, like chasing unpaid invoices and resolving disputes. It's also essential to developing a more robust collection strategy based on historical trends in customer payment history, invoicing tactics, and more. Even in the U.S., where paper checks might stifle a business ability to seamlessly capture payment data, approaching R analytics with a focus on customer data supports a predictive approach to developing customer payment forecasts and collection strategies rather than relying on historical transaction data of invoice payments that have already been settled. As B2B payments in the U.S. catch up to other markets around the world in digitization adoption, and as faster payment capabilities arm businesses and their service providers with even more robust data to analyze, R will find itself in an even more strategic position to help businesses build a better collection strategy. But education must continue to ensure corporates understand the potential to transform R from a costly, manual process into a value-added operation. The market is definitely starting to mature, said Harvey, but there will always be a need to educate and provide concrete proof that focusing effort on R will yield a healthy ROI. Interest rates to pinch alt lenders and digital banks. Welcome to the uncharted territory for the lending landscape, at least for those who were born and came of age in the new millennium, in the digital age, and post the Great Recession. They say history doesn't repeat itself, but it does indeed rhyme. For the neobanks that are now encountering precipitously falling interest rates, the question becomes, how do you keep the customers coming in the virtual door? This piece is being written on a Tuesday that has seen stocks soar nearly 5%. That's a significant reversal of the nearly 8% loss seen the day before. The Treasury yields also rose, and, for example, the yield on the 10-year stood at just under 80 basis points, up from sub-50 basis point nadirs earlier in the week. Fed rates, of course, were cut to a range of 1% to 1.25%. Time to breathe a sigh of relief, perhaps, but not too fast. Looking at the worst day since 2008, in the rearview mirror takes eyes off of looking at what's ahead. The trend has been down. And across the broader financial landscape, falling central bank rates and falling rates, in general, tend to compress the savings account rates that have been a key tailwind for deposit growth for traditional banks, and also for lenders that have used relatively high rates to spur consumer deposits, and then, possibly, cross-pollination to other financial products and services. Key among those banks who have promised higher rates, Marcus, the Goldman Sachs banking unit, done digitally, that has staked its claim here and across the pond with high-yielding products. A visit to the site indicates that Marcus APY is 1.7%, leagues better than the single-digit basis points that peers offer, but down from 2.2% seen in July of last year. At the same time, fixed-rate loans are, well, fixed-rate. Hitting a pause button. Another example of the pressures that come from the coronavirus, because after all, the virus is what has been slowing the economy, which led the Fed to cut rates, which now pressures lenders. In Australia, Information Age reported that Neobank Shinja said it would no longer sign up new holders for its high-interest stash account. That decision came in the wake of the Australian Central Bank's decision to cut interest rates by 50 basis points as COVID-19 continued to spread. Per Shinja, because these are uncertain times for everyone, we are holding our rate steady, at 2.25%, but hitting the pause button on customers opening stash accounts. The bank added, no more new stash accounts means no increase in cost to Shinja and means we can protect the interest rate for people already with a stash account. The Neobank has said that 25,000 customers deposited over $300 million into those Shinja stash accounts since its launch only this year. The company is also looking to raise $50 million from investors. Here then, is an interesting wrinkle. Stopping new business from coming in the door implies that the revenues you make, per unit, are shrinking, while costs are a sore spot. Reminds us, in a way, of that old joke, money lost on every sale, but we make up for it in volume. Every joke has a kernel of truth, and here's that kernel, at least when it comes to banking. Dramatic rate shifts mean banks, typically laggards to react, see smaller margins as they pay costs on consumer deposits and yields on loans get reeled in, too. Size matters in banking, and having large mortgage portfolios helps a bit, too, as giants like JP Morgan and others do. That's because a flurry of refinancing brings in cash flow. The banks that have minuscule interest rates on savings products conceivably have less of a spread shock than those like Marcus and others who promise high rates but then have to gradually reel them in increments so as not to chase away an existing installed base, and, really, in a true economic calamity, it might not be far-fetched to see a bustle toward the marquee names that survived the Great Recession and actually have, well, branches you can visit and pull cash from. Alt lending too. What of the alternative lenders? These are the smaller, sometimes platform-based, companies that have gotten financial backing in peer-to-peer or institutional settings. In a report detailing consumer credit origination, TransUnion estimated that the share of personal loan balances held by fintechs was 38% of a total of $138 billion, up from a 5% stake in 2013. The name of the game here, too, is spread. The fintechs take in capital, the capital makes loans, which, though well above benchmark rates, is below credit card rates. The question becomes, what happens if consumer demand for loans dries up? The other side of the equation is, what happens when investor funding dries up, when the market says thanks, we're good for now? In at least a bit of acknowledgement that capital does not come cheap, Lending Club took the step earlier this year of buying Radius Bank, an online bank that offers checking and savings accounts. The deal has yet to be closed, but Lending Club management has signaled the desire to gather up cheaper sources of funding. The financial services model, whether online, platform-focused, branch-based or an amalgamation of it all, will be tested by low rates that may go lower still. Rethinking reconciliation amid deeper corporate finance disruption. The reconciliation process is traditionally viewed in the context of financial transactions. Does the value of a company payment match with what the company was billed, and what the company had purchased? It appears to be a relatively straightforward process, particularly as documents like invoices and purchase orders digitize, payments go electronic, and automation technology allows for quick, easy data matching. Yet the reality is that the reconciliation process is rarely ever straightforward. The ability for finance and accounting teams to capture transaction data across payment channels remains a challenge as information is stored across various portals. And the likelihood that data across a payment, purchase order and invoice will always be identical is particularly low. Speaking with PYMNTS, Flowcast CEO and co-founder Mike Whitmire discussed how the nuances of reconciliation demand a more sophisticated automation technology that can address a less than perfect data set. It's why Flowcast recently announced upgrades to its automated reconciliation tool AutoRec earlier this week, a move Whitmire said was the direct result of user feedback. Not only are accountants demanding more sophisticated capabilities in their reconciliation tools beyond data matching, but they're also exploring how to take reconciliation automation beyond the traditional use case of payments and bank statements. Beyond data matching. One of the biggest challenges that finance professionals face in their reconciliation process is in data discrepancy. There may be only a small difference between what a company is told it's owed on an invoice and what that company actually paid, but it can create big headaches as automated technology cannot always recognize that these two data sets are for the same transaction. Oftentimes, you'll have data coming out of one system that will have a transaction recorded in a certain dollar value, and it will get booked into your ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning, at a slightly different dollar value, explained Whitmire. It's not necessarily a mistake. He pointed to one of the most common examples of this occurring when a business makes a payment but sees a credit card processing fee taken out of the transaction. In this case, the transaction dollar amount will be a few percentage points less than what is stated on an invoice, which can hamper a person's or a technology's ability to recognize that those two data points are related. This challenge led Flowcast to add its threshold matching capability, which Whitmire explained wields technology to identify patterns in small discrepancies, while using other data points like the date and name of a transaction to reconcile these figures. Payment rail confusion. Another common challenge of the reconciliation process stems from the fact that businesses are increasingly collecting and making payments across a range of channels, platforms, and payment rails, and not all are created equal in terms of a business ability to capture reconciliation data, said Whitmire. This was the friction point behind Flowcast custom configurations function, which allows for transaction data matching even when descriptions vary widely. Payment network innovation has largely focused on elevating the ability to transmit data along with funds, which has become a key benefit floated for corporates in the B2B payments realm. While more transaction data can certainly be positive for processes like reporting and auditing, Whitmire said that for reconciliation, there are only four data points necessary to match up data sets: date, dollar amount, vendor or customer name, and a data field that has information about what a transaction relates to. Data can be important for other purposes, but for automated reconciliation, we've found that it's not necessary to overthink it, he explained, adding that simplifying this process means organizations can more efficiently reconcile their transactions across channels and payment rails regardless of how sophisticated they are at transmitting data. Beyond the status quo. With organizations demanding greater sophistication in their reconciliation technologies, they're also exploring how to apply automated tools in scenarios beyond the typical use case of reconciling bank account and credit card transactions. Whitmire encountered this opportunity personally when, at a previous company, he was tasked with reconciling sales captured within the Salesforce platform to orders captured within the Oracle NetSuite system. This is usually done manually, by comparing one spreadsheet to another, yet it's another scenario in which automated reconciliation technology could bring significant improvements to the process. There are a lot of applications, he said. It's amazing how broadly applicable this solution is. The exploration of reconciliation automation tech beyond the status quo is only one example of how the enterprise has begun to embrace disruption in reconciliation and broader finance and accounting processes. For instance, traditionally, the ERP has been the central hub of data aggregation as well as reconciliation. That model is due for a rethink, however, with third-party portals perhaps a better choice to manage reconciliation, rather than relying on an ERP to validate its own data. I am really starting to question the place of the ERP at large, said Whitmire. If the job is to validate that these data integrations are correct, is it appropriate that the system that has the integration built into it, the ERP, should be the one auditing the integration point? Further, more disruption is ahead as organizations accelerate their pace of operations. While reconciliation is traditionally a monthly occurrence, more businesses will do so weekly, or in some cases even daily, with Whitmire forecasting a gradual shift toward real-time reconciliation. That's not where we stand today, he said, but in the not-too-distant future, it will be more of a continuous, incremental process. Making invisible payments more than a buzzword. From cash and coins to mobile wallets to wearables to invisible payments. About 90% of purchases are still being made in store, but the payment modalities are changing and rapidly. To that end, said Matt Good, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Elon Advisory Services, in an interview with PYMNTS, fledgling ways to pay where wearables are wielded as payment instruments, and where mobile wallets replace leather ones will soon become everyday methods. The journey toward frictionless payments has raised the bar for merchants and their financial institutions, FIS, to be ready for the shift. Frictionless payments. As Good told PYMNTS, frictionless payments can be defined as payment experiences that are seamless because they remove pain points such as handling cash, entering PINs, or wielding physical cards. I am referring to frictionless payments as anything that doesn't involve the actual plastic, he said. So you're talking about the ability to pay with your mobile phone or device and have it actually be contactless. We're also referring to voice transactions when we talk about frictionless. And while he said the United States has been relatively slower than other countries to embrace contactless payments, the pace of adoption has picked up. The acceleration is due, at least in part, to the fact that more consumers are demanding contactless payments as their own individual comfort level increases, said Good. One other headwind to contactless adoption and deployment stems from what might be thought of as the provider side of the equation. Good said that for merchants, processors and FIS, the investment in terms of technology and time is significant. Projections show that less than half of all POS merchant terminals in the U.S. are going to be able to accept contactless transactions by the end of 2020, he noted. So there is a lot of investment that has to be done. Yet those same merchants will find that, as Good noted, more than 30 million consumers will look to use mobile checkout apps to scan their items right where they are and avoid the checkout line altogether. Making the necessary investments is especially challenging for smaller community banks and credit unions, CUS, Good maintained. Payments may not necessarily be their niche, he explained of these smaller FIS. They have a much-needed niche in the economy where they work to provide banking services to local customers, but they may not necessarily know what to invest in, or what is needed, in terms of hardware and software, to get their own business customers up to speed on frictionless payments. The most streamlined path for these FIS is to partner with a processor, such as Elon, which specializes in helping FIS offer mobile wallets and wearables without shouldering the associated costs of such initiatives. Wallets, merchant-agnostic and merchant-specific. As Good noted, among frictionless payment options, mobile wallets are gaining steam, as the global mobile payments market is projected to reach $3.4 billion in 2022, representing a 33% compound annual growth rate, CAGR, as measured from 2016. And in the continuing debate over whether individuals will embrace merchant-agnostic versus merchant-specific offerings, Good remarked that a shift may be happening in the industry. He noted that the main differentiator for merchant-specific wallets has typically been the rewards offered to end consumers. He cited the example of Starbucks, whose mobile payment app rewards users with discounts and free drinks at the point of sale. For a while, Starbucks had been the industry leader, but now Apple Pay, a merchant-agnostic payment, has pulled ahead with an estimated 15 billion transactions annually. We're definitely starting to see the trend move toward more merchant-agnostic apps, said Good. He tied the emerging trend to upgrades in payment technology such as near-field communications, NFC. In addition, merchant-agnostic apps such as those from Apple are also offering rewards and points, effectively incentivizing consumers to embrace contactless payments. As physical wallets seem increasingly likely to be displaced by digital offerings, wearables are also gaining favor with consumers, said Good. Payment volume through smart devices worn on the body, watches, yes, but also other options, may top $500 billion this year, he added. Invisible payments. All of these trends point toward the eventuality of invisible payments, which remove all indications that a payment is actually taking place. The Internet of Things, IoT, heralds an age where no device is needed to make a payment, and where retinal scans, voices, or facial scans are enough to trigger a transaction. Good pointed to the Amazon Go experience, where Amazon tracks the products that come off store shelves and charges individuals' accounts when they walk out the door. The industry is going to head this way, said Good, though some consumer education will be necessary to build comfort levels. As frictionless and contactless payments move toward invisible status, said Good, FIS must take heed. The ability to pay with a mobile wallet, to pay with your watch, or even to pay with your voice, these are all becoming standard parts of our economy, and that will continue throughout 2020 and beyond, he told PYMNTS. So for the bank or credit union, you can't avoid this business, or you're going to risk valued customers. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.